Greetings. Welcome. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani and you, and we've got the show team in place, and we are all set for another episode of the program. Debbie, good to see you. How's the pledge drive going at Veritas Catholic Radio?
In Connecticut. Very well. Thank you so much for asking. It's a wonderful time for listeners to step up and support their local Catholic radio station. So when your station comes to you, just like Veritas is going to everyone in Connecticut, please call in and make a pledge. And don't forget EWTN as well. But, you know, our little jingle at the beginning of the show, you know, what everybody's talking about. Well, I've been talking about Cinco de Mayo, okay? I'm just saying. The 5th of May, it's a big, big day for us here in Arizona. Lots of restaurants are open with music and dancing. It's a blast. And it really does commemorate the amazing battle at Puebla in 1862. And so it's just an incredible day, Cinco de Mayo, a day of celebration. And also, you know, Mexican independence from Mexico is actually in September. But this is the Battle of Puebla. That's what it commemorates. And, you know, it's important. And Mexican heritage is important as well. And those of us that came from other places in the world, especially today, coming from Mexico, please celebrate and share your heritage and be super proud of it, because it's amazing. And we'd love to hear from you. So that's what we're doing today, Jerry. We're celebrating Cinco de Mayo with folks celebrating their Mexican heritage.
Yeah, be among the first to call right now. It's 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Thank you for those historical details, Debbie. And you are right, it is not Mexican Independence Day, but it is still a day of commemoration and in many ways celebration for the Mexican people. So we're asking anybody, if you could be in Mexico right now and still join the program, but if you have come to the U.S. or you live somewhere else, but you have Mexican heritage and you would like to just call and talk about that a little bit, we are opening the phone lines to you right now today at 833-288-3986.
And maybe you're listening in Mexico. If you can call in, we'd love to hear from you. We have our show number, which is 1-833-288-3986. And if you're outside of North America, you dial country code 1-205-271-2985. But let's call in and really celebrate the Mexican heritage and Cinco de Mayo. Let's do this the right way, the Take Two way. We love that. I just want to share this. I live in Arizona, and we have a lot of folks that their parents are from Mexico, their grandparents, or they are from Mexico, and they are so committed to their faith. I love how the Hispanic community really values family, their faith, friends, and they do like to have fun. And you put all that together, and it seems like an Italian family, right? And so we have a blast, and it's amazing. And I would just love for our listeners who are from Mexican descent, please call in and share and be super proud of your heritage. You know, I heard something today that was it was a bit disturbing at first. I heard it on the news today. And may I share this real quickly, Jerry?
Sure.
I guess apparently a school, I have to get the details of it, but a school in New York is thinking of getting rid of Columbus Day on the calendar, and they're going to make it Indigenous Peoples Day, which is great. But I guess apparently there was some pushback from the Italian community, so they decided to make it Italian Heritage Day / Indigenous Peoples Day. And that's great. But, you know, I think it's important that we celebrate who we are and where, you know, our ancestors are from. And it's pretty amazing. And when we do that, we learn more about each other and we grow together. I learned that yesterday from Father Reggie Norman. And Father Reggie Norman is a wonderful priest in the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut. He came on the air. And Father Reggie, if you're listening, I am barring all the things you said to me yesterday. So thank you so very much. But he was talking about we have to talk to one another and really celebrate each other's cultures. What do you think about that? I know you would agree.
Well, I would agree completely. You know, and I'm somebody who actually I'm kind of ashamed to say I don't really even know what my particular heritage is. I know my family comes from several places in Europe and so forth. My brother is really big on the ancestry kind of a thing, so I don't really know what my background is. But you know, one of the beautiful things about the Mexican people and the Mexican culture and those who may have come to the United States is that you mentioned it already, the faith element. The faith element is so strong. And so we'd love to hear, again, today we're celebrating Mexican heritage. If you are of Mexican descent and you would like to call in, talk about just your pride in your country, but especially mm-hmm. what the faith means to you, how beautiful it is, how beautiful your faith is to you. 833-288-3986. And I think it's a little unfortunate that Cinco de Mayo has become like so many other holidays that have deeper meaning, Debbie. It's sort of become all about, you know, selling beer. Yeah, a day to party and selling beer and
like
that kind of stuff.
Saint Patrick's Day.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's unfortunate. Maybe talk about that. Maybe talk about how unfortunate it is that such a beautiful and important holiday or day of commemoration in Mexico has, in a way, been, you know, as usual, hijacked by the commercial world.
Yep. So if you want to share about how what Cinco de Mayo means to you and your family, now's the time to do it. We are dedicating the entire show to this wonderful day to remember the Battle of Puebla. So please, folks, this is your show. Take it away. 833-288-3986. Fill up those phone lines. Rich Jesse is waiting to answer your call. And Jerry, you know me, I just have to say it. Don't get started with your Cinco de Mayo celebrations yet. We need your help. Okay, so fill the phone lines. We want to hear from you. I think this is going to be a great show.
I will tell you.
Okay, I don't drink that much anymore. I used to socially, you know, really drink because of events and stuff, because people would hand you a glass of wine or hand you something, you know, and I'd nurse that the whole night. But I will tell you, I have to have a margarita today. I just have to.
There you go. That's not a bad idea.
I just have to, because it's a big, I mean, you should see, and I think the restaurants are super excited to get back into, you know, business and having people come in. So they're going all out with celebration, and it's just going to be a blast.
All right. We're marking Cinco de Mayo by asking those of Mexican heritage to call in and share at 833-288-3986.
In case you didn't realize what day it is today, it's Cinco de Mayo. That's right. And we're talking about celebrating our Mexican heritage. That's what we're talking about today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. So we'd like you to call in. If you can trace back your roots to Mexico, call in 833-288-3986. I have a feeling the Take Two family's already started to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. So come on, you guys, step away from whatever you're doing and having fun and make this call. We need you. We need the Take Two family. Real quickly, Jerry, I just wanted to share EWTN about EWTN Essentials, Radio Essentials. You can listen for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass celebrated every 2 hours. There's rosaries on the radio, chaplets, Stations of the Cross, and other devotionals every hour. You can hear EWTN Radio Essentials on the EWTN app at EWTN.com.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jerry.
Well, EWTN Radio Essentials it's been such an important help to people during the pandemic, and it's still going strong. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
What are you going to do for Cinco de Mayo? Do you have anything going on?
I don't know. You know, all throughout California, it's a big deal. In fact, I would love to hear from anyone if you feel like, how do you feel about the kind of the commercialization of Cinco de Mayo? I mean, in the U.S., we probably have the same situation with the Independence Day, now called predominantly 4th of July. I prefer to call it Independence Day because that's what it is. But as with everything else, it just becomes, like you said, we were talking earlier, you know, a reason to drink and party. And some of that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with a lot of that stuff. You have barbecues on the Independence Day and family get-togethers and baseball games and stuff like that. But I wonder, you know, it's I think Cinco de Mayo is celebrated more in the U.S. actually than it is in Mexico.
It's celebrated here more?
Yeah. Well, that's like on Wikipedia and the articles that I've read said it's really a bigger deal in the U.S. than in Mexico. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to hear from those who are of Mexican heritage, you know, what your thoughts are about this. What does Cinco de Mayo mean to you? How do you commemorate it, if at all? Do you do anything special? 833-288-3986.
Real quickly, I just want to say I mentioned a fine priest, Father Reggie Norman, and I just received a text message. They wanted to know where he is at. He is in Wilton, Connecticut, and he's the pastor of Our Lady of Fatima. And he also does Black Catholic apostolate ministries for the Diocese of Bridgeport. Amazing. Father Reggie was just amazing. He taught me. I have to just tell you what he said, and I'm going to start using it. I said, I'm going to use it on take two. He says, go ahead. Okay. He doesn't call funerals funerals. You know what he calls them? Homegoing.
Home. That's nice.
I love that.
Homegoing, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I said, Father Reggie, can I have that? He goes, absolutely. He's so sweet. He's a great priest. Anyway, so he was teaching. He was really, you know, teaching yesterday during the pledge drive about how we really need to have that necessary dialogue to learn about each other's cultures and our heritage and, you know, who we are and our families and our lineage and everything. And then when we get to know one another better, we can appreciate each other. And it's very, very important to do that as Catholic Christians. And he's just an amazing priest. I learned so much yesterday. It was funny too, because I was soaking in all this stuff, Jerry. You know how I like to take notes, and I'm making notes and I'm going, I'm in the middle of a pledge drive. I got to give the pledge drive number. So, because it was just so fascinating. But real quickly, before we get to the phones, we have open phone lines if you'd like to share your Mexican heritage on today, Cinco de Mayo. 833-288-3986. You do not have to be Catholic to call in. Please, please be proud in a good way and call in and share about your heritage. Jerry, real quickly, I went to Mexico in the 1980s, my first trip there to Acapulco for a convention, insurance convention, and I was 3 months pregnant. And I got so sick on the water. We went there for convention for 4 days, and I spent the whole 4 days in the hotel room.
Really?
Yeah, it was really that. But that was when I was pregnant with my first child, and that was Acapulco. Then I went back, and I went to Mazatlan, Cabo, and Puerto Vallarta. And I'll tell you what, I almost bought a place in Mazatlan because I felt like, oh yeah, I felt like it was home. As soon as I went to Mazatlan, I said to the cab driver there, had a beautiful rosary hanging from his. I loved Puerto Vallarta too in Cabo, but those are very, you know, very commercial with, you know, and very touristy. But Mazatlan was just beautiful. And I said, I feel like I'm home. And he said, oh yeah, you'd fit in beautifully here. And I said to my husband at the time, we're moving here. He says, Debbie, our family is in Arizona. So anyway, but how about you? Because you were in seminary. Weren't you stationed in Puebla?
I wasn't stationed there, but we do a summer immersion program in Spanish. And it was actually in Puebla where the Battle of Puebla took place in 1862. And the Mexicans turned back the French there, which is a very dramatic victory for them. And yeah, I spent a summer about 8 weeks there. And what a great experience. We were treated so beautifully. Everything was in Spanish, all Spanish. The classes, you know, we had to understand or else learn what they were saying. And they were very, very gracious about it. And we traveled a lot of places and went to Mexico City to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. And we also went to Acapulco, we seminarians. This is really kind of... It's funny, sort of, but the one of the cab drivers was trying to ask us if we wanted to find some girls or something, and we said no, somos seminaristas católicas, we're Catholic seminarians, and he was like, oh, okay, where are we going again?
A church? You want me to drop you off at a church?
Right. you had to learn how to speak the language. And I had 2 years of Spanish in college before that already. So, Wow. Maybe that's why I think in Spanish. Remember on one show recently, I mm-hmm. said, I think in Spanish all the time. I see billboards, I see signs, I read things, and my mind is constantly translating them. How accurately, I don't know, but I figure God has a plan for that for me. I don't know what that mm-hmm. is yet, but...
Interesting. Well, yeah. I have a connection a little bit to Puebla. The parish that I worked at years back, our pastor just really got close to the nuns, the Carmelite nuns in Puebla, and he brought them up into the Diocese of Phoenix. And so Bishop Olmsted welcomed them, and they're still in the town that I live in, Gilbert, Arizona. And so the Puebla nuns, they were amazing. And they used to teach us Spanish all the time. They're so great. Oh, I love the nuns. God, you know, we should do a show about nuns. I love nuns, sisters. I just love them. They're just amazing. Anyway, well, today is Cinco de Mayo. So let's talk about your Mexican heritage. Come on, you guys. 833-288-3986. Where are we going, Jer?
We're going to go to George in San Antonio, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. George, it's good to have you with us. Welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. Sure. I really enjoy your show a lot. And
thank you.
I'm also Mexican American, but like through my DNA, they found that I was like in around Maine and New York as my part of my Native American ancestry in 1750. But somehow or another, we migrated to Mexico. I guess because it was a breadbasket of the world, we transformed from hunter gatherers to farming in Michoacán and Guanajuato, and then we had another migration. Because the way the laws were in Mexico, persecuting Christians and Catholics. So my family fled to San Antonio and to California. Along with my wife, I didn't know which her ancestors were, but she's related to Father Pro, beloved Father Pro.
Oh, wow.
And her DNA goes back to Bethlehem time.
Is that right?
Around that area. And we all came from different places, and we didn't know where we're going to be, Mexican or Anglo or whatever, Irish. But people were always migrating, and just like the way they are today, from Central America to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all people from Noah's Ark.
Right.
All related to there.
Right.
And we got to celebrate everything. But I remember back in the 70s, there wasn't very many Cinco de Mayo celebrations. But some of the high school kids I was with, we did our own little parades and decorated our cars. And we were our own little mini floats, and we drove around our neighborhood and through parking lots of different high schools. And that's one of my earliest beginnings of a memory of Cinco de Mayo. But then after that, all these different groups that sprang out in the 70s, you know, and it got every got more popular as time went on to what we have it today.
Yeah.
But I just want to tell you guys, keep up the good talk, the good works of the Lord. And God be with us all.
Well, thank you, George, for calling. And what fascinating history you have discovered about yourself and about your wife. And, you know, as Debbie and I were talking earlier, Debbie is 100% Italian, but she's Italian-American. Unfortunately, I don't really know what my heritage is, but you're right. We all come from probably a mixture of things. You know, the world has constantly been seeing migration in this direction and that direction, and, you know, people going to new lands and new countries and so forth. So, but like you said, we go back to Noah's Ark, in a sense, and actually go up. I think science has proven that we actually even, well, we know that we go back to Adam and Eve, but I think science has even proven that through DNA and stuff. So what do you think, Deb?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting what you were sharing, George, and then what you commented on, Jerry. But George, I just want to go back to something I said at the beginning of the show, that, you know, the folks that I work with and that I my neighbors and people at the parish that I've become so close to, I found that the Mexican people are very strong in their faith. And family and friends, and boy, do they like to have fun, which I love, because that's like that's how I grew up. Would you agree with that, George, or what was your upbringing?
Yes, I agree with that, but I think once they cross the river, the border, their religion gets pasteurized, and it's not as strong as it was when they were in Mexico. And another, you got Debbie, you're in Jerry's accent. Sounds like y'all are from heaven.
Oh, George.
Oh, you're very kind, George.
George, would you call us each and every week?
I try to a lot. And I call when there's a radiothon, and when y'all have special intentions, I call in.
Beautiful.
Oh, I love that. George, you made our day. I don't even have to have a margarita now. I feel great. Thank you, George. That was so sweet. You call anytime.
Thanks, George.
You all fill us up like that with your Holy Spirit.
Well, praise God. Praise God. We do a lot of praying before this show, and we pray for you, the listeners, and we're keeping you in our Take Two family prayers all the time. So thank you, George, for calling in from San Antonio. We appreciate that. 833-288-3986 on this Cinco de Mayo. We're asking you, how important is it to you? Debbie and I want to learn. You're educating us about this commemoration in Mexico, which actually I think I read something that said the celebrations actually began in California a year after the Mexican victory over the French. So that's kind of interesting in and of itself. So we're asking you what you think about it, if you celebrate it at all. 833-288-3986.
You can join us. There's a couple open phone lines, 833-288-3986. Fill up those phone lines. We're going to move to Vic in Indiana, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Vic, and welcome.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. Just fine.
Oh, okay, I'm inside a store. That's why I asked.
Sure.
Yeah, with the Cinco de Mayo thing, my father told me that it was kind of a sad day. Because we had to have a special day to recognize the Hispanic people and our heritage, and that the way we helped build America was told the story of my great-grandparents, that the railroad actually went down to Chinchota, Michoacán, where they're from, to recruit them to come up to America to work and build railroads. And I still have family members that work for that railroad company today. And, you know, it was kind of sad that they had to do that, you know, to make a special day just to recognize them for all the influence that we've had on building America and keeping it built to this day. Hispanic people, majority, the ones I know anyways, are basically, you know, we were laborers. That's all we knew, and that's all we were taught to do. And thank God we've evolved from that also. So, you know, it's not just, you know, I heard a bad joke about, you know, how's a Hispanic going to get in the White House? And they said with a leaf blower on his back, you know, and it was like, it was funny, but then again, it was sad. And, you know, and I think that's the point my dad was trying to make about the Cinco de Mayo. You know, yes, it's a celebration. We're all supposed to be happy, you know, have a margarita and go out and barbecue. But the real significance is the acknowledgement of the Hispanic culture and what we have brought to America.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got on that one.
Well, that's beautiful. Some beautiful insights, Vic. Thank you for sharing that history with us. See, this is what we're trying to do on this show today. You know, when we don't, you know, really celebrate something with the same intentionality that other people do, it's a good learning experience for us. And yeah, it's unfortunate, like you said, that sounds like the Mexicans were used for labor a lot, and there were put downs and so forth. But I still hope and pray, and you know that even in spite of those things, which many were probably very unfortunate, but there would still be that pride in knowing what the kind of the nugget of that day means for the Mexican people, right, Debbie? Do you think, you know? I mean, just the victory.
The victory. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, Vic, because I can totally relate in a different way. But I grew up in New Jersey, and I remember the similar things that my dad would say about the Italian-American community, how they contributed as well. And so it's very interesting that you were sharing that. I learned a lot. This is pretty amazing. Vic, hold on a second. I got one more comment on the other side of this break. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie talking today about your Mexican heritage. Call in.
So good to have you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you Our show team is in place. Michael Birchfield, our producer. Jeff Burson is on social media, collecting your comments from the Facebook and YouTube pages, and we will do our best to get to some of those before the end of the program. And Rich Jesse is screening your calls today at 833-288-3986. And we are asking for you to share about your Mexican heritage, because it's Cinco de Mayo, and it does have some significance, hopefully a considerable amount, given the nature of the celebration today. We're asking you to educate us, to help share with us, you know, what that, not only that particular day means to you, but being of Mexican descent as well, and how important that is in your faith. And we're talking now, Debbie has another thought or two for our friend Vic in Indiana.
Well, actually, Vic, I just have a quick question. We had to hit the pause button, and I was just sharing that my dad used to say similar things about the Italian community, you know, contributing, building bridges, and all the things that they did to add to the United States, and how, you know, same type of thing, you know, aren't we ever going to get recognized all year long? You know, we did a lot, and I so can relate, and I agree with everything you're saying. But Vic, I want to ask you a question. You made the comment that your dad, I think your dad said it's a sad day, a sad celebration, because of this one day that they're, you know, kind of highlighting as a holiday when it really should be all the time, right? Should I not be celebrating Cinco de Mayo? It's really big in Arizona. Is it something that we shouldn't celebrate, or is it okay to celebrate it?
Well, no, naturally, yes, of course. Just like any other, you know, I mean, I guess the comparison he was using is, for our African American brothers, you got a whole month. For this thing, you got a whole month. For that thing, you got a whole month, you know, and so on and so forth. And it's kind of sad, you know, because he compared it to the birth of Christ. You know, it's only a one-day thing, and then it's over, and open your gifts and have your food and be happy, and then it's done. You know, it's a done deal, so to say. Mm, you know, not that's by choice, of course, because we have things you can do every day, which I do with daily mass, rosary, and divine mercy, you know, to help celebrate, to keep my, because I need to keep my mind in check. I'm like a rabid dog. You got to keep a tight leash on me, you know, and I'm easily swayed, so to speak. And I think that's what he was kind of referring to. You know, he's not saying it's a bad day that we celebrate. And, you know, but he's saying, shouldn't it be something that we should be reminded of all the time? I mean, right. It just seems like it's too, what's the word, complacent maybe even? Or maybe that's not the right word.
Almost
maybe
like
you guys
almost,
think of a better word.
Almost like a token holiday just to acknowledge.
Exactly. There you go. You took the words right out of my mind.
Well,
I couldn't say it, but I was thinking that.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Vic, I'll be...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'll be honest with you. I felt the same way this morning when I saw the news this morning where that New York school was going to, you know, get rid of Columbus Day. And then they finally put back Italian Heritage Day. And I was like, wow, that's kind of, that was kind of lame. But okay. Anyway, go ahead, Vic.
You know, and Americans, we're trying to go to a new way of thinking. And I'm so, so grateful for that. You know, shouldn't we celebrate everybody all the time, all year round? Mm-hmm. You know, let's be grateful for all our heritages. Let's be grateful for everything everybody brought to America, rich, poor, disabled. I mean, disabled people have taught me much, much about faith in God and having hope in my life. You know, it's just, wow, look at this guy. You know, he's in a wheelchair and he's playing basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, how much hope does that give you? Hey, look at this guy. You know, his great-great-grandparents were slaves down south, and they were treated like animals. And he's still surviving, you know? Mm-hmm. There's that hope value. You know, all Hispanics were, you know, historically labor, not slave labor, but laborers. And now look at us, you know. I know one guy, a guy by the name of Benjamin Fernandez, and he was the first Hispanic to ever run for the presidency of the United States back in the 70s. And I looked into the history of that guy, and his family, they nicknamed him Railroad Ben, or Hobo Ben, you know, within the Senate. And that was because his family lived in a railroad car when they first came up here from Mexico. So, you know, I think we should be focusing more on the celebration of hope that we do have all these different nationalities, but we need to go a step further into what are we going to do now? You know, okay, we're celebrating that we're here, but what are we going to do now? Because I know myself personally, if you don't have a very, very smart person or a very, very strong person in your family, nobody's going to make it as far as corporate America goes.
Right.
You know, you got to be super strong to be an NFL athlete or super smart to be a collegiate, you know, person with straight A's. Well, what about the rest of the people? You know, does that mean we don't fit in and we don't belong? Well, I don't know about that because the Almighty's the one that put me down here. Mm. You know, my parents are basically just servants to teach me his will so I can go out in my life to do his will. So that means we're not as important. You know, there's a whole lot of changing in the way we see things. And I think a lot of it, like, forgive me for forgetting her name, but the lady earlier said, you know, about being a token. You know, there's a lot more to it than that. You know, we're part of this country. We're not tokens. You know,
absolutely.
We're not to be used for, you know, some form of slave labor. You know, we're all part of this country. Let's all share in our, you know, I've been on both sides of the spectrum. I've been super poor and I've been very well off. And I know when I was very well off, I was like, Joe who? You know? But
yeah.
When I was very not well off, I was like, oh, Joe, please help me. You know?
Yeah, and
wow, that's true. Yeah,
I can weigh in just with one quick thought, Vic, and then we'll let you go. We got full phone lines here, but I happen to live in the Diocese of San Bernardino, California, and we are blessed with a very large Hispanic population. And just recently, our vocations office, every year they put out a vocation poster with the young men studying for the priesthood and men and women in formation for religious life and the husbands and wives in formation for the diaconate. And I would say about 90% of the seminarians, I didn't look at the other ones as closely, but about 90% of the seminarians are Hispanic. And that just warms my heart. You know, I look at it like, you know, they've come to the U.S., many of them as first generation, you know, others have come, their parents were here, but they're carrying on that beautiful, beautiful Catholic faith that is so deeply rooted in the Mexican culture. And I look at that and I say, thank God we are getting vocations. Thank God for these young men because they have all the best qualities and traits that we could be looking for in our young men and in our young women as well. So thank you, Vic. Appreciate your thoughts very,
yes.
very much. It's like we say, we got full phone lines here. We're going to have to try to work our way through them as best we can. Lori is in Missoula, Montana, listening on St. Michael Network. Hi, Lori. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi. How are you guys?
Hi, Lori.
Doing well.
Good, good. I just had a kind of what Vic has been saying, too, and early in your introduction, I heard Debbie saying about how, you know, we need to celebrate our cultures and but sometimes I wonder if maybe that isn't somewhat what's dividing us. I know that my grandfather escaped the Bolshevik Revolution and came to the United States in about 1909. And when he got here and got his citizenship, he was an American. And I think that we're kind of forgetting that we should all be Americans, and I know that that's what he taught all of his kids, you know, and everybody grew up with a great, you know, patriotism, and you know, they remember where they came from, but they were Americans. You know, his first goal was to learn English, and he got farmland in North Dakota. And I just sometimes wonder if we aren't dividing ourselves by saying, "Oh, you know, I'm black, I'm Native American, I'm this, I'm that," instead of coming together and saying, we're American.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lori, you make some really interesting points, and I agree with you, but I'm going to share with you a text message that just came in from one of our listeners. Let me pull it up right now. And this, I think this is the reason why people really do hold on tightly to their heritage, to their culture, and they get really nervous that something is being chipped away. And here's what just came in. Right before you came on the air with us, Lori, it says my great grandfather had to change his last name because he owned his own construction company and people were prejudiced against Italians. So he had to change his last name. His Italian last name, because people did not like the Italian last name. Now, let's face it, a lot of Italian names have vowels, and it's a very long name. Like I have Giorgiani, it's a long name. And so it's interesting you're saying that, Lori, because I agree with you. My family, when they came over from Sicily, they considered themselves Americans. They wanted to be Americans, but it was the people that made them feel different. They wanted to be. So it's so interesting. I think it goes back to what Vic is saying. If we would embrace each other and celebrate each other and include each other, not just kind of fall into our own little group, like, oh, I'm going to hang out with all the Italians, or I'm going to hang out with all the Irish, or I'm going to hang out with all the Mexicans, or I'm going to hang out, you know, if we include each other, we start to become a really, I think, a very whole American, you know, culture. What do you think about that, Lori?
Well, yeah, I think that's kind of what I'm saying, is that, you know, we can, I mean, I still, you know, like to say, you know, my grandfather came from Ukraine, and, you know, that most of his family was killed. There was only three of them that survived. But it's not who I am. I mean, it's my heritage, but it's not who I am. I'm an American. And I think, isn't that how we can all come together, by saying we are American? Mm-hmm. You know, and I am married to a Mexican, and just about the Cinco de Mayo, you know, his mother and father felt the same way when they came to the United States. They were Americans. So, I mean, if you ask my husband what Cinco de Mayo means, he would have no idea. You know, he moved to America, and they went to American schools, and he was American, but yet he still is Mexican, and he's not ashamed to say that. Right. But I just think I look at our society now, and it just seems like we are being so divided. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like here in Montana, they did change Columbus Day. It's not Columbus Day anymore. It's Indigenous People's Day. So, you know, it's happening. I don't know. I just feel the divide is widening, and somehow we have to all remember that we all came from someplace else, but we're all Americans, and that's the only way we're going to keep our country strong, mm-hmm. is if we do all come together and say we're Americans and we want to make this the best country we can.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful insights and comments, Laura. I'm with you, and I'm with Debbie. You know, I would not disagree with anything. I just feel like, you know, I like I said earlier in the show, I don't know where my ancestors came from. I'm an American. That's all I know. But I think that I would have a certain pride in various aspects of if I you know had come to America from another country. I'm thinking of like feast days in the church calendar. You know, Our Lady of Guadalupe is such an important feast for all of us, but for the Mexican people, because it's there in Mexico. You know, I've been to Mexico City, right. And I've seen special. The great devotion mm-hmm. there. So I think it can be a both and. You know, we definitely come together, and we must. To be united as Americans, like you said, because our country is so divided right now. I just personally don't have any problem with, you know, holding on to certain things, maybe not having them overshadow the fact that we're Americans now, but still commemorating those things. That would be my take on that, I think.
Yeah, I totally, Lori, you really shared some great insights here with us on Take Two. And I just want to say real quickly, Jerry and I do a lot of life coaching, and we really believe in life-giving words and what they mean. And then there's these things called limiting words, you know, words that keep us down, that keep us divided. And I've often said this, you know, if we would celebrate each other instead of criticizing each other, we would be much better off. And I agree with you, Lori, We really, we're Americans, and that's a beautiful thing. And we have a great country. You know, when I went over in a pilgrimage over to Italy, that they would constantly say to us, "You spoiled Americans! You spoiled Americans!" We have a lot here to be grateful for. Lori, thank you so much. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day. You're listening on St. Michael Network. I love that. Anything St. Michael, I love.
Thank you, Lori. God bless you for participating in the conversation today. EWTN Open Line on Wednesday has Father Mitch Packwood. It's a different expert every day of the week. And this afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Father Mitch will take your calls on church teachings, and that is on most of these EWTN radio stations, 3 Eastern Time, Wednesdays with Father Mitch Pacwa. And before we go back to the phones, Debbie, I think we have to, before this hour ends, we have to promise our prayers for the people of the Mexico City train crash yesterday.
Oh,
just a horrific,
that?
Yeah, the subway overpass collapse. And so, we hadn't mentioned it up until now here on the program, but we wanted to make sure and mention that our prayers
we've
are with.
Praying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And also, we're getting a lot of tornadoes and stuff happening here in various parts of the country. I heard it was a couple hundred thousand or without power. Let's pray for those folks, too. That is so sad. And that, that could be very, very dangerous if you need heat or air conditioning. I mean, it could be tough. Javier is up next in Ocean City, New Jersey, on YouTube. We're waving to you, Javier. Hi. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, how are you doing?
Good. How are
doing
you?
Doing well, brother. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Is it okay if I quick share my story about how I crossed the border, and I'm not technically an American legally, but is that okay if I quick share my story?
Sure. Yeah, if you can make it brief, that'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be very brief. When I grew up in Mexico, I grew up there, and I got into some bad apples, and then I had a daughter, and I realized if I wanted to have a better life for not only myself but my daughter, and I wanted to keep her safe, I needed to come to America. So I did. I crossed the border, and now I am in America, and I get paid under the table, and we are doing quite well, my family and I.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. You have a thought, Deb?
Well, I was just going to say, Javier, let me just say something. When your daughter was born, it's so interesting because that's when we're not handed a parent manual, right? And so we instinctually go to what we know would be good for our children. And you felt that it would be a much better life for your daughter, and so that's why you chose to come to America. And so how is it, tell us how it's, what is it, was it a good decision?
Yeah it was a great decision. And once I came to America, I actually joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's also known as Mormons. And it's just I'm very happy I'm able to raise my daughter in a safer place, and it's just great. I love America. I love America.
We do too.
Well,
that's beautiful.
Had you had any faith in your upbringing? You mentioned you became a member of the Mormon Church. Had you been raised in any faith? Are you still practicing the Mormon religion, Javier?
Well, I wasn't raised in any faith. But I am practicing the Mormon faith, right now.
Okay.
But you listen to EWTN, which is great.
Right.
Yeah, I love it.
Good.
Thank you. Hey.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to go to our next call here. Take two with Jerry and Debbie. The number is 833-288-3986. Isaiah is next in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, listening on Oklahoma Catholic Radio. We're going to Maria in
Maria
Yuma, Arizona.
In Yuma, Arizona.
EWTN app. Sorry about that. Isaiah, hold on just for a minute.
Hi, Maria.
Hello, Maria.
Can you hear me?
Oh, we can now. Yeah. Hi, Maria. How are you?
Thank you. Doing great. As I was telling the the person who took my call, I was so happy, Debbie, when you were talking about Cinco de Mayo. I was so afraid you were going to say it was something along the line Independence Day or something like mm-hmm. that, because that's what most of the people tend to do. But I was so glad that you gave us a little bit of the history about the day, and that is the battle of against the French. Mm-hmm. But now that I hear the callers, I also want to share a little bit about when I came here. I felt like it was just the partying, the drinking, and I didn't like it. I didn't quite enjoy it. But it came to my senses that I appreciate it now, because it's true what you say, Debbie, about being, proud from where we're coming from. Mm-hmm. When I came here and I was in school, let me share a little quick story about someone writing on today's day, a little flag on the board in the corner, and one of the students was so upset. She started saying that we shouldn't do that, that when we came here for a reason, and that we should become Americans and forget about where we're coming from and just leave it where it is. And that hurt me, because we are who we are, and we didn't just came to be when we crossed the border. And our history tells about ourselves. We can't just forget. I feel, I might be wrong, but I feel that if we forget where we're coming from, we are nothing. That's why God made us and gives us our history. So we are something, not just a leaf that the air blows and comes to be somewhere. I'm proud of this date, and I'm proud. I agree with you, Debbie, but we should celebrate everybody's heritage, not just us, because that unites us. And we are who we are, a mixing pot, but we can be strong together.
Yes. Amen to that, Maria. Amen to that. From the beautiful city of Yuma, Arizona. You guys have Catholic Radio. You're so blessed. Yuma is doing great. Yeah. I love your city. Maria, you live in a city of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. I got to speak at one of your events. Yeah. And everybody was so great. I didn't want to leave. I said to my husband, I'm just going to stay here. This is so... But I agree with you, you know, and that's the beauty of it. You know who I think unites us really well is the Knights of Columbus. Maria, I don't know mm-hmm. if you can, because they do, you know, that I love how the Knights involve themselves in everything that's Catholic, and they bring us together. They really do. And it's a wonderful way. That's why I wanted my husband to be a Knight. I said, because you get involved with everybody who's in the Catholic Church. I mean, I look at our rosary celebration here, Maria, in the Diocese of Phoenix and the Diocese of Tucson. And we have every culture. The Native Americans, all the Hispanics from in Central and South America as well, all the Black Catholics. We have everybody's represented in our Rosary celebration, and that is done by the Knights of Columbus, and it brings us together. And we have a blast here in Arizona. It's amazing. So Maria, I'm right with you. I actually love living in Arizona because of exactly what Maria just said. You learn very quickly in Arizona. Everybody's a transplant. It's a melting pot, and we all just celebrate one another. I think it's a beautiful place to live. Go ahead, Jerry. I'm sorry, I'm bragging about Arizona today.
That's all right. Thanks, Maria, for the call. The four degrees or the four pillars of the Knights of Columbus, real quickly, are charity, unity, fraternity, and patriotism. So, Debbie, I think you were right on in coming up with that example. All right, we're going to go to Isaiah now in Oklahoma City real quickly. Got about a minute and a half, Isaiah. Sorry to cut you short, but go ahead.
How you doing? I was just chiming in on the Mexican heritage thing. I found my Mexican heritage later in my life. So all my life, you know, I walked around, you know, as a part of the Black struggle. And a beautiful thing happened to me. I went to California, and I didn't have no friends coming from Oklahoma, you know, being real country. I met some of my best friends, you know, and they exposed me to my Latin heritage. And also, another thing that came to me, I was evangelized by a Latin man, and we connected through our heritage. And I think because of that connection, you know, it was easier for him to convert me, you know, from mm-hmm. just being a regular Protestant Christian to actually seeking to be a Catholic. And I think it took a process of maybe about a year, but
well, Isaiah,
the gentleman,
Forgive me for the, you hear the closing music there, Isaiah. Brother, I'm so sorry to do that to you, but I am absolutely thrilled for what God has done in your life. Faith knows no boundaries. Faith doesn't know cultures, ethnicities, colors, anything like that. We are all one in God's holy Catholic Church. And Debbie, I think Isaiah is a beautiful proof of that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I wish we had more time, Isaiah, but you can always email us at take2@ewtn.com. Tomorrow's the National Day of Prayer, and so we are dedicating the whole broadcast to prayer. Whom or what are you praying for? Until tomorrow, St. Joseph, please pray for us.